There it is.
What?
Apparently it was reconnecting us.
Are we actually on the air now? Have I been talking to myself for 5 minutes?
I think
no
so.
Idea.
Well, my sister is listening, and she said, where are we?
Yeah. Oh, so nothing was heard over the air until now.
I don't know if it is. They just said they were dialing us back. She hasn't heard a thing yet.
Can she hear us now?
I don't know. I just messaged her and asked her.
Oh, okay. Well, we're waiting. Well, anyway, I'm your host, Dr. Mark Filippi, and this is that's Valerie Schott just talking there, and we are Naked Soma, Riff on This. And we could be joined by many elements of the universe tonight, one of which might be our third partner, Jeb Thurman, up there in Syrup Land, Philo at Large. We don't know. We only seem to get a hold of Jeb for portions of the hour on Wednesdays, as he is a swamp bat doctor up there for the baseball team in his little town there of Keene, New Hampshire.
Okay, she says she doesn't hear anything.
So who knows? She doesn't hear anything.
No.
Really?
No.
Says we're on the air. Why isn't that working?
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to tell her to reconnect. I sent her the link again.
Yeah. Let me make sure, but let me see if I have any. So I guess we're not on the air.
I don't know. Seems like every other night we're just chatting on the phone.
Right. Well, this is bizarre.
Yes, it is.
Well, I don't know. You played the theme song.
And I got booted off. It does say
we're
on.
Yeah, but it says that we're on there.
Yep, it did
like
say that.
Normally. So then what's the problem?
I don't know.
I'm more than confused.
Yeah, me too. Not unusual. Oh, she hears us.
You hear us now?
Thanks, Michelle.
Okay, Michelle, our spotter out there in White Plains, I guess we've been on the air. We're going to have to listen to the archive to know exactly what was still out on the airwaves and what wasn't, because...
That's right.
Wow. Another great arrival.
Did I hear a beep?
You did.
Something just beeped. Who knows?
It was a filer from New Hampshire.
What?
Oh, my God.
Jeb.
Oh, he calls in after all the technical problems are gone. We don't even know how long we've been on the air. It's 8:06. I think we've been on the air about 30 seconds.
Oh, you mean the show?
Yes. We tried.
Is Rick listening?
No, he's passed out. My sister was listening. Let's see. But
that's
we're good odd. Now. And let me just play this.
Okay, bend over.
Because that's pretty much...
Yeah, let's just restart the show here at 8:06. Second time hearing the theme song, everyone should dance.
Shall we do it? All right, Jeb, you ready to dance up there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
And we're back.
We're good.
And what's the number they're calling on?
They get the number. If anyone else wants to join us in this calamity, it is 646-478-4847. 646-478-4847. This is Naked Soma Riff on This for Wednesday, June 27th, 2007. And we are in the total grip and squeeze and twist and turn of the Onto week. And during the middle of a retrograde, 1 week removed from a seasonal change, I've had enough.
Two retrogrades. Let's not forget the Uranus retrograde. Got Mercury.
Oh, right. When did that start? Friday?
Uranus? Oh, Uranus.
Yeah. When did Uranus go into retrograde?
it's been close to a week, I think.
I think it was just before the season change or just after?
I don't remember. Come on, I don't
I
know
think
what
Uranus
it is.
Uranus has been in retrograde for about 40 years.
Yeah, but exactly. And if you should have seen my action last night on the plunger at about 4 a.m. when I had to clear the path. When I got back from my... Well, actually, it was close to 5 a.m.
Oh, brother.
Okay, so here I want to start out with. I want to hear. I understand Milch is onto. I want to hear why or how this show is written, with each of the characters speaking from the onto perspective. I want to explain that to me.
Yeah, we're going to jump into that right away here because the blog this week, if you haven't been to it, at nakedsoma.blogspot.com, discusses this sort of phenomenon of intuition. And I looked around for, God, it seemed like 2 or 3 days to find a good example of a creative onto that is not destructive, but is able to tap into this capacity that ontos have to be extremely imaginative and innovative even. And happened upon this guy, David Milch, who I completely expected to be eco when I first, you know, learned about the guy, knowing him from NYPD Blue and from Deadwood. But when I saw him interviewed on, I think it was that Craig Ferguson show, and when I read a little bit about him and then saw some other of his pictures, he sort of strikes me as a combination of, like, you know that Mandy Patinkin guy, that actor? And he has a little bit of that sort of a quality like an Albert Brooks has of, like, he's an eco that wants to onto, but he's more of an onto that wants to eco. He's, like, just over the line. And when you hear him talk about it, the depth that this guy is going to get from what you see on the surface, that's the biggest thing that you can, when you're looking at someone like this and you're really trying to understand not just the primary domain, but what drives that person to use that resource of having creativity, because everyone has creativity. It's just that we use it differently. You know, a philo is going to use creativity in managing relationship stuff and be able to establish a deeper connection with other people, and then that's where they're going to get their payoff for being creative. Where in onto, it's a self-referencing loop. So as long as he enjoys the show in his head, you know, it's almost like what happened a couple weeks ago with Sopranos with David Chase, who was another freaking onto. As long as he enjoyed the ending, he skipped off to France and he says this long line, I'm not interpreting, I'm not talking. He was done. And that's one of the things about ontos that most of the other domains don't have, is the ability to trust what comes up on the inside as being enough. They don't have to go and talk to their friends, their neighbors, their, you know, their mailman about anything that goes on the inside. You never see an onto go, do you like this? They know if they like it or not. Everyone else needs that social kind of mirror to get the feedback. Where Milch doesn't care about ratings. He doesn't care about reviews. He doesn't care. He cares about that he had a contract with HBO, but he just came to create.
It's like, isn't it kind of the same? Like, it sounds like when Chase did it with Sopranos and Milch with how he did Deadwood. It's like the same thing with onto in an argument. This conversation is over.
Right.
You know,
it's all
like,
stuff.
They're
everything.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they have a container of satisfaction, and they set the threshold, and they don't care about the feedback from the outside world, which is what makes them so innovative, because most everybody else tries to please the crowd in the middle of the bell curve, and they don't drag the crowd east or west of that middle line, so nothing ever changes. The status quo is maintained mostly because the people that are trying to drive the status quo are in the status quo, and ontos aren't. They're only, you know, 12% of the population, and there's sort of that alpha type of philo where they're part of the group, but they're part of the group that's transcending the group, and that's what Milch did with, you know, and believe me, he was not popular among the Deadwood faithful, as Val can attest to.
No, not at all.
He did not go to bat for that crowd at all.
Nope.
What was it, 4 seasons they signed up for in Deadwood?
Yep, and they did 3. He's still promising the other movies, though.
Yeah, and the interview I saw him do with Craig Ferguson, he basically is using this series to leverage the other one. But yeah, as you've seen, he's already given some work to some of the old Deadwood characters on the new show.
I love
so.
It. Every time I see one, I am so thrilled.
What's the name of Frankie, right? The drug dealer guy is...
Yes.
Is actually... what's his name from Deadwood? Charlie
Utter?
Charlie
Utter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, beautiful stuff.
And, you know, just the same character almost.
Well, yeah. Kind of in another century, yeah.
He really is.
he's moved from the 1870s to the 21st century pretty nicely, actually. And
that's right. Instead
kept the same vernacular, too.
That's right. Instead of being on a horse, he's in the car. That whole tirade that he had in the car was completely Charlie Utter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the funny part about Milch. A lot of these Anto directors, I think of guys like Tarantino, who's got that eco nature to them, but they have to be the boss, and they're creating something that's always so special and unique. There's nothing about an Anto. They're not going to create anything that's a duplicate of anything.
No. We wouldn't want that.
It's a standalone thing. Is that they have their players. They have their troupe of actors that are in all their movies, and they know how to play on the depth of those actors, those people, because to them, they're just extensions of the creator. I mean, that's one of the reasons why Chase could write for James Gandolfini, you know, for almost 10 years and you know, 7 full seasons of 86 episodes, but he couldn't do the same thing if it was just a 2-hour movie, you know, one-shot deal.
Mm-hmm.
They're just different kinds of beasts.
Right.
So I want to play a little of the clip from the blog so we get a little flavor for John from Cincinnati here.
Awesome.
Maybe it'll cooperate in a vowel like this.
Uh-huh.
Bone tie, Butchie. Make her see God, John. I'm going to try hard enough.
Yeah, we'll go out back. We can jump the fence. Where is that guy from?
Cincinnati.
Nothing like this has ever been done. It is extraordinary.
Action. This kind of material doesn't conform to any particular genre.
I think the show's really about redemption.
Spiritual transformation.
About healing. About second chances.
Miracles. Save ones. Small ones.
It's about the larger human family.
We are in a desperate, desperate moment. As a culture, probably as a species. And John has been sent from Cincinnati to encounter and set in a dramatic context that truth.
Seek God, Kai.
But you know, it's also a show about surfing.
I play a matriarch of a very down-on-its-luck surf family.
Maybe this is the time we've made. We don't have a perfect marriage.
That's surprising that when you watch it, it feels as though the family is trying to keep it together. Because when you play it, you feel as though these people are making all the wrong decisions.
Come to my hotel.
My husband is a one-time number one surfing star and is now sort of withdrawn into feelings of failure.
You should get back in the game, Mitch Yost.
You should mind your own business.
All right, it's a little flavor.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, so I don't know, but Jeb, there's no way in the world he's seen any of the show, but
no, I enjoyed the trailer though.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, the 5 minutes I played, yeah.
No, I watched it. I mean, I watched it, you know, on the blog. And,
yeah.
And,
you can actually watch it on the website. The first 3 shows, I think, are on the website. On the
really? That'd be cool.
On the HBO website. You should definitely check it out.
Don't you think Milch is being a little dramatic, though, and like when he's talking there about, you know, we're a turning point for our culture and our species. It's like,
well, he's Anto. I mean, there's nothing undramatic about an Anto saying that because everything they do is recreating the universe to them.
Right,
and what he's getting at with the show, if you dig deeper in some of the articles he's written about, is this idea that we speak about a lot in somatics of this shared identity, of this expanded sense of self, and how the boundaries between one individual and another are getting a little blurry, and that's in a dysfunctional family that's always evident because nobody has any coherence enough to stay within themselves. Wretched
there
phone.
There it goes.
There it is. And there's the intelligence calling me now, probably. Oh,
that's
crap.
Right. And that will not happen at the new office.
Oh, yes, right. We can mention that now.
Yeah.
So what Milch is getting at with that show is he's using the metaphor of the wave, which is right along our lines, too. This is going to drive me nuts, and I can't even...
Rip it out of the wall, will you?
Just stop, you infernal phone. Look at that, we did it.
That was good.
Wow.
That was magical.
Almost, yeah. And so what he was saying is that the wave is the only physical evidence we have of interconnectivity, and that the wave is really the metaphor for the entire show, which I wrote about on the blog there. Between, you know, we live in extremes in the culture. You're conditioned to good, evil, you know, good, bad, that kind of thing, black, white. And this is saying that everything is a wave. Everything is rising and falling with the tides. And these people's lives, as out of balance as they are, or in the surfing parlance, you know, they're wiping out. And so the show talks about, you know, the emotional impact of having not just a bad day, but a bad life, and generations of this, because, you know, as the show goes through, the patriarch of the family was an injured a surfing prodigy, and then the son becomes a drug addict surfing prodigy, and now the little kid, you know, damn near dies as a surfing prodigy. So everyone keeps getting back on the wave, so to speak, is the theme of the show. And this guy John comes in out of nowhere. I came into the sluice.
Waves.
Yeah, sure. Waves. I'm telling you, I emailed this whole thing to our pal there, Irving Dardick, over there in the Batcave in New Jersey.
Oh, did you?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because there's a line in there that from Milch's interview that Irv could have said it at the kitchen table. You know.
You know what's really weird, and I didn't look at the, I didn't know anything about you doing this blog this week until, you know, I just looked at it. Mm-hmm. And the article that I wrote for my local paper that came out today was the title of the article I wrote was called "Waved, Waving, and Waved."
No way.
And
really?
About, yeah, and it was about. Did you see that article that that Pelosi sent you there? The exercise article from McMaster University where they did.
Yeah.
Okay, so I read that, and I copied it, put out in my office for the clients. But then as I was reading it, I got excited about, you know, Irv stuff again. So I wrote a whole article explaining what I saw in that article and what really meeting Irv and meeting Roger, how that changed my life. It made me look at things waving within waves. Because in the article they're basically saying if you could exercise, you know, a little bit and get all these health benefits. But what I saw was that it wasn't that they were exercising a little bit and getting benefits, that they were actually training recovery more aggressively. And so it was just that, and I wanted to put a quote in my article. I wanted to just say, you know, there was two quotes I wanted to put. One was, it's so fucking simple. And the other one was, they forgot the night. You know, nobody was
getting
it, of course.
Nice.
Well, one of the things, you know, I realize now, because we've been using simples for about a year and a half now, a little more, and maybe a little less. I don't even know. I can't even remember the time.
Somewhere
we started
there.
Doing them, I think, we started doing them in the spring.
We first went down there in
December of,
December
it was 2005, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, it was December, because it was soon after Ava.
It was after Ava's death, yeah.
Yeah, so that was like December 2005 we first met him. And in case you're listening, you have no clue what we're talking about Irving Dardick, the creator extraordinaire of the superwave resonant theory
the
and
damage,
all that stuff.
Don't end the world.
Hold
or
on.
Despair. Or fucking beatings.
That
world ends
that
when
was
you're
me
dead.
Slipping on my.
Until then,
house words and
you got more
in
punishment in store. Stand it like a man. And give some back.
All right. That was me just hitting
Thank
my
you,
mouse
Al.
Button.
Yeah. Another David Milch creation there, Al Swergen, just chiming in from the grave.
That's funny.
So anyway, we both, Jeb and I met with Irv, and then we got to meet with Roger Lewin, the author of the book about Irv's life story, and this phenomenon that he discovered, that, you know how any discussion, it used to be 10, 15 years ago, any discussion of holograms defaulted to, well, you got this apple, see, and you got a reference beam and an object beam, and the laser goes this way, and you got an apple over here that's not really an apple, but it's an image of an apple. They always use the same sort of like plug-in, like almost like the Bloomberg version of holography, right? Well, the Bloomberg version of quantum physics was, well, you have particles and waves, see, and it's either or.
And they sometimes even call them wavicles because they're particles,
right,
but they act like waves.
And what the funny thing is that no one's ever really seen a particle, but everyone's seen a wave. So Irv decided that, no, there's no particles. There's only waves. And basically that's the theme of Roger's book about the whole story of Irv's odyssey through understanding how this applied to just about everything. And who knows if where Irv is. Irv is writing three books the last time we saw him. at once. And
you
got to realize.
Anybody's interested in the book, it's called Making Waves, The Story of Irving Dardick and His Superwave Theory by Roger Lewin. It's definitely worth a read. It's
really a family book. It's not a technical book.
It'll give a little coherence to this conversation.
Yeah, it might hook you in.
Reminiscence here.
This is like two truckers on the interstate talking right now. Rose Kitchen. So anyway, what we're getting at with this whole sort of like conductivity thing is that an Onto does not feel connection like the other three domains. And Irv, who's a Philo, designed a protocol to actually make you more Onto, make you more self-referencing, make you more sensitive to your heartbeats and your breathing rhythms and all these things like that. And he designed a protocol that he monitored in his very paternal, you know, sort of fashion down there in his basement. And there was only one way of doing this protocol, and that was it. And we you know, we've been in the field for a while. We're watching this and going, well, that's one way of doing it. You know, it's like, so when we started doing simples, which is the stuff we do, it's on the website, which will soon be somaspacecenters.com. Say that three times fast. Right now is lightthepathlive.com. You can click on the simples link there, and it gives you the protocol. And basically, what we got out of our interaction with him and what we weren't able to communicate back to them was that it doesn't matter so much about the intensity of these things. It matters that you're doing them on a rhythmic basis, which got us into the study of the things that Roger talked about in his book for about maybe two or three chapters at the end, which is all the cycles in nature and how this exercise thing isn't just something you're doing today. It's something you're doing within a lunar phase, within a lunar cycle, within a seasonal cycle, within a year. And all of those waves, waving within waves, creates what you recognize as your baseline physiology. And most of us are wired more for exertion and not so much for recovery. And Ontos, in particular, are extremely wired for exertion because that's where they reside, at the peak of the wave. And so that's what, you know, his mindset was, the more I can stretch that wave up and get it lined up with the waves on top of it, the waves that are influencing it, then that individual will have Irv's signature phrase, waves waving within waves, and they'll have a deeper sense of coherence because they'll have a more of a wider range of physiology to adapt to. So you take your baseline heart rate and your peak heart rate, the wider those two things are, the healthier you can be. And then the faster you can go from the peak wave down to the baseline, then the more resilience you have and the deeper that coherence is. So, you know, Irv is, what is he, pushing 70? How old is he?
I think so. I think he was 69. He must have had a 70th birthday.
Yeah, and this guy could drop his heart rate, like, you know, 40 points in, like, 30 seconds. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
wow.
It's just, like, supernatural to be around a guy like that. Plus, he could fall asleep at a dinner table at about 8 o'clock at night in the middle of a sentence about something.
At a tavern.
Yeah. Yeah, in a tavern with people around him and music on and stuff, and he's out cold. This is because it's nighttime and he has to go to sleep. He shuts off like a wind up toy, you know. But so that whole thing, getting back to how this relates to the way the Onto experiences connection with its surroundings, is that the reference point for an Onto, different than the other three domains, is itself. So it's like it starts off with what it perceives itself to be within its base rhythm, its usual, customary, reasonable rhythm, and then any departure from that, whether it's accentuating it and making it more intense and altering the state, or if it's depleting it, is going to be met with resistance. So it's almost like the Onto drives itself on signal and noise, and the signal it puts out is the signal it's trying to receive. If it comes back distorted, it's almost like, you know, when you look at a lot of times with computers, they deal with something called packet loss, where you send a signal out and some of that information gets lost in the translation because the servers aren't clear. So there'll be a percentage of packet loss. So when an Onto sends a message, they're looking to see, it's almost like a telephone game, they're looking to see you got it exactly as they sent it. And if there's any packet loss, you change a word, you change an inflection, you change a phrase, it's like you've translated it and distorted it, and now it's not their message anymore, and they will react with their usual vitriol. But when they're trying to create, it goes the other direction. They are taking information in from their surroundings and trying to impress themselves with everything that's going on as it relates to their outer world. So when you think of the surfing metaphor that Milch came up with, is he's saying that if I do a show about the stuff I'm really talking about, it's PBS. But if I make it about surfing and dysfunctional families and get that Philo element in there and get the emotions up so the egos are interested and make it diverse and things like that and keep it so that there's some form of sort of an eclectic structure to it so that the exos are going to see that there's a dark side of this stuff and that there's definitely the elements that are utopian because he's talking about transcendence, that'll hook the average exo in there. And then we put this lingo in there, which is also going to hook the exos. It's going to communicate this belief that he has without having to sell you. Autos are unbelievably talented at putting their pure message, again, that packet loss thing, in other forms and not losing any of the information. Where everybody else that tries to do that, there's a huge packet loss, especially when egos do it. The egos are terrible at that because they're so emotionally attached to the original message.
That's for sure.
So we don't translate as well. Philos will always, when they're going to translate a message, they'll always put it in something like if you're an Italian and you're communicating to someone who's, say, a German, they'll talk about, you know, something that's in common. Well, we're both European. You know, they'll look for, like a Venn diagram to make sure everyone's connected. So with an Anto is only trying to get back what they put out or what they took in without any noise. And the noise is what makes them crazy, like this.
Right on cue.
Perfect.
Somebody's listening and screwing with you.
No. That's only one ring. That's just not even, you know, that's just typical.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the phone number here is 646-478-4847. And we want to get your thoughts and questions about this because this is something that, the weather bug is going nuts, that sort of shows up early on in the season, and we're going through the first 4 weeks of the summer, so we're in that third interface right now, which is when all the emotions come up. So we're actually having a really peak Anto week in the sense that we're getting a lot of the dust out of our heads when it comes to what we're passionate about. So this is a really big week to explore that. That's why, you know, this show that's on this John from Cincinnati is keeping you in this high, almost like a high tension wire act of what, you know, a lot of stuff's happened in three episodes. There's not 5 minutes that goes by in that show that there's not some emotional outburst from some direction, from some corner of the whole deal. And that's one of the things that it's different than a Philo deals with drama, which exaggerates things that are happening. And Anto deals with intensity. So they're taking what's happening, and they're taking it deeper. It's happening now, and it's happening now, and it's happening now. So they string together. It's called self-similarity in terms of the dynamics of it. And so it's like your heart rate gets up to 150 beats per minute, and it associates all the experiences it's had on that frequency. And it pulls them all up, and it makes a standing wave out of it. And then it communicates. That's how an Anto gets their passion. It isn't about the moment that they're in. It's about all the moments that they perceive to be similar to it, and that creates this wavefront. That's why, you know, if you've listened to the show, we might have mentioned him once or twice, our pal out there in Seattle who's knocking people on their butt, Richard Bartlett, is so just unbelievably talented at being able to take these self-similar moments in time and string them together because an Anto is extremely just almost like they have an appetite for power. And anything that they can associate with their power expands their power. So it's like if I do something successful once, it's sort of like the old Green Bay Packers. I'm going to run student body right and student body left. You know it's coming, but you can't stop it. And that's the way that they push back at their environment and influence their environment and innovate the culture. And that's why, you know, these groundbreaking shows and the books that come out that are written by Antos, the Anto is not seeking, you know, the fame and fortune. Oprah Winfrey was not someone who sat there when she was in, you know, in the valley of her development and said, one day I'm going to be famous. She knew she was important day one. And it's just, like Madonna, if you see her getting interviewed on American Bandstand in the early 80s, you know, Dick Clark asked her, what do you want to do? She goes, take over the world. She just said it matter of fact, because to them there is no world that's outside them. It's this image of themselves on the inside that they just keep communicating. Again, they keep putting that signal out, and they keep looking for packet loss, and then they go back and resend it again. And that's why, no matter what article you talk about, the seed is the same as the tree. There's a constancy. That's what keeps that rhythm so tight. Where all the other domains, we go through all kinds of changes because we're interacting with things that are more variable. They're interacting with a constant themselves. So they don't have to really go that far. And that's why it's difficult for them to develop support from the secondary domains if they don't have coherence in that onto one. And that's why the worst thing on the planet is the onto without coherence, because it's a runaway train. So I hope that cleared that up. I know there was a mystery about it, but I felt like I had to share.
Yeah.
So, all right, so I wanted to get to, we mentioned a little bit about some news. Val and I are, I guess we're proud to announce, right? I guess we could say that.
Sure.
Yeah, we could say that. That we're in the waning days here in at 1890 Palmer Avenue in Larchmont, and we will be resurfacing through some time and a lot of effort and recovery over the weekend, moving the belongings to 178 Myrtle Boulevard in Larchmont, New York. Same phone number, same bad time, same email, all that stuff. And we'll be opening a place called Soma Space. And that'll be a body language center that we'll be doing the live profiling. So if you haven't done your self-profile yet, go to lightthepathlive.com, and it's right there on the homepage for you to do. And you can figure out which of these four narratives speaks to you the most and has the most elements of your life story reflected in them. And that process alone is the beginning of your initiation into what we call universal somatics, which is this common body language that we're all using, but very few of us understand or recognize. No different than anyone recognizing the waves that Irv talks about. They're there all the time, but we hardly ever notice them because we're told to look at other things. And the culture actually steers you to kind of go 180 degrees from that, because it creates a perceived sense of organization when actually it's an illusion. So, you know, our stuff is getting at things at a much more biological level, where it's a little more raw, but there's a lot of depth there. So I wanted to make sure we got that out there. We are moving, and we will be over there, and maybe next week on our 4th of July show, special time next week, guys, at 6 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. A 4th of July show from 6 to 7. And that's going to be interesting because it is an eco Independence Day.
Yay!
that'll be interesting.
That will be good.
There'll be barges blowing up all over the.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of accidents.
We'll still be in retrograde too, so that'll be fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh God.
There'll be next week could be interesting for the Homeland Security crowd.
Yes, it will.
So.
Yeah, I have Bonto standing by. Should I have her?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, let's get her on the air here. We have.
Let's hold on here.
We actually have an Onto to round us off here, and maybe get some insight into this Ontoition thing.
That's right.
Maybe she can tell us the inside story of the whole Verizon suit.
And while we're waiting for her to call in,
she's dialing in.
Well, yeah. I had a message my sister to tell her to call because she's hanging out at my sister's house.
Wait. She's not upstage? She's still in White Plains?
She's still in the area. Yeah. Here's another onto while we're waiting.
I want a beer.
Well, what about your diet? You can't have a beer.
Ain't I lucky to have you around to keep me from enjoying life? Then what can I have?
You can have a nice low-cal root beer.
I'll vomit.
And a hearty naked summer welcome to Bonnie Shot.
Bonnie Shot. Give her my last name. She'll cry.
Bonnie Gaglione. Oh, yeah. I went one step too far.
Yeah,
is she there?
Names. I don't know. Let me see. She's here somewhere. Wait one second. Where is she? She's dialing in, and she's there she is. Oh, she's on. Ma, are you there?
I see you there. Can you hear us now?
Ma.
I'm looking at, is she there? I hear something.
Turn your radio down.
Yeah, turn your radio down.
Where is she?
Number again, guys, 646-478-4847.
I unmuted her. Ma, you there?
I'm here, Val.
There you go. It was on mute for some reason.
Oh, thank you very much.
You know what? Maybe I should import that into real life. Might be useful.
Don't get smart. Now, I know Mark wants to ask me some questions because I'm an onto. But I'd like one question answered first. Can you ask
fine.
Valerie how it is growing up with an aunt for a mom?
No, you don't want to
answer
that.
Be careful,
Val. Before this is, go ahead, answer the question.
I refuse to answer that question because I could get my butt kicked.
Oh, my goodness, Bennett. It wasn't a pleasant experience.
She's a great mom, completely and totally. And she's always got my back. But I tell you what, if I piss her off, I got to run.
Well, I can't deny that. Can't deny that.
No. Do you remember that time you were mad at me for something and you threw everything in my closet on my bed?
On your bed, yes.
And I got home at, 4 o'clock in the morning, kind of half-cocked from drinking, and I couldn't go to bed.
I think that's why I was angry at you, because you didn't get home when you were supposed to.
Yeah, it could have been. Or that, or you told me to clean my closet, and I didn't.
Oh, yes, that could be it. I told you to clean your room for about 15 years, and maybe that was just the topper.
That might have been it. That was rather unpleasant. But most of the time, she's fun.
Yeah. We have fun.
Now, this is what I wanted to get into. This is exactly what I wanted to get into. If, as an Anto, waking up in the morning, looking around at the world that is imperfect in comparison to you, is that, do you wake up with an idea of how the day should go, and then if things go off the checklist, that's when you get nutty? Or do you wake up and say, each experience has sort of a, you know, it's supposed to go like this, and then it's supposed to go like that. So, do you have a definite idea of the way that they should go?
No.
Or do you have sort of a quasi-definite
idea? Not a definite, no. Absolutely not.
So, do you have standards that might vary? Like, you go to a restaurant, today it's okay if the soup is cold? I mean, that doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't. I wouldn't like that. I do vary, but not extremely.
Not extremely. Okay.
She varies whose butt she kicks.
Exactly. It could be you, or it could be this guy. But this topic of intuition, that for some reason, Antos seem to trust their gut and trust their intuition a lot more than other people, because the conversation in their head doesn't have as many questions or as many other people's opinions. It has your opinion. So when you're thinking about making a change about something, or when you're thinking about doing something that's not on the radar, that you're going to make some radical move, or let's say, I don't know, sue Verizon, say.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, you make a decision to do that. When you go and actually make the follow through, you think about doing it, then you go ahead and do it. Are you thinking 50-50?
I think about it a lot, and then
okay.
Go ahead and do it.
But once you do it, you think it's going to work, right? It's not 50-50. Once you do it, it's like, well, this should work now.
Yeah.
You weren't hoping you got a result. You pretty much knew this was going to work, right?
Yes, but I have given it a lot of thought beforehand.
What are the thoughts like? The thoughts like, am I going to get this much or that much?
am I doing right? Am I doing wrong?
Right and wrong.
Yeah.
So there's actually a little bit of a moral play in there in the Anto mind, because I'm surrounded by Antos myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I ask them about things like that, like, what do you tell yourself before you do this or that? And I get sort of one-word responses like, go, now, do it. It's like, so I think what happens is Antos seem to communicate to themselves the way they would like to be communicated to. So it's like they tell themselves to do things. I had this conversation with my daughter the other day. She was absolutely unmotivated to go to the last couple of days of school after she had her graduation ceremony and stuff. And she had, I watched her do it. She literally rolled up out of bed and she said, get up, Sarah. Take a shower, Sarah. Come on. Get dressed. You got to get going, Sarah. And she scolded herself into getting ready to go out the door.
Yes.
And I just think Antos are, they're critical to in a way, because they have such, it's not perfectionism like an exo does, where there can
right.
be no deviation from divinity.
No.
It's achievement. It's like, I want to do my best. And if they can't do their best, or they can't perceive themselves being at their best, then there's a lot of resistance. So it's like they have to kind of, it's much different than the other domains in the way that they communicate to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Ecos communicate 16 excuses before they even get out, before they open their eyes.
Oh,
it's like the alarm clock goes off, and it's like the phone rings. That's not for me,
uh-huh.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just the healthiest thing in an eco is their excuses. Believe me.
Yeah, we're good at that.
No, because we're always wrong, and we know that. We have to come up with an explanation all the time. We're always pleading our case.
That's right.
It seems like the moral decision there of is this right or is it wrong isn't really about morals based on anything but her own moral compass, though.
It's a value system of one, yes.
Exactly. So
right for her, wrong for her.
Once Bonnie decided it was the right thing, then it was the right thing, and then there was no going back, and there was no question. And she would be surprised as hell if it didn't go through the way she expected it to, because she decided it was right. And so that's what I notice with my resident aunt, though, is that once the decision is made, and this is a line I remember all the way back from chiropractic college with her, when she's studying for a test, is she'd say, cut your losses and move forward. Like if I was studying, I'd be like 6 books in. You know, I'd be on like a topic that was never going to be tested on just because I got interested in a train. And she'd be like, just cut your losses, study this and be done and go take the test. But it was so easy for her to do that because in her head, and her saying it, though, cut your losses, is like, it's so calculating, but it's based on her own decision that came up from her gut. And she could walk away and never look back, not even a question about, well, yeah, but you didn't understand why that thing didn't work that way, and she's like, I don't care. It's irrelevant to me.
There's not a lot of second guessing with Aunt Those, because again, wrong is for someone else to decide. They'll live with whatever result happens because they were certain that they were going to do that, and they don't apologize for it. Where everyone else everyone else hedges their bets.
Yeah.
Put all their chips in the middle most of the time on almost anything.
But even if they, what's funny is if she says something, or my father also, mm-hmm. he says something, and then you question them later on it,
mm-hmm.
even if it was wrong, but they might have forgotten and the story changed in their own mind, where what they remember now is how it was the proper outcome when what they said originally was wrong, they still defend their decision as if they made the right decision. So the decisions, it's like, it's just funny because it's just so there's so much certainty there.
Again, to an aunt, though, it's all self-referencing, so it'd be like taking a fork and sticking yourself in the eye with it. What happens is their hindsight isn't 20/20; their hindsight's 20/10. Their hindsight's eagle eye, because the further distance they get from anything they perceive that didn't go right, they have more information to justify the decision at the time. It's not revisionist history; they obliterate the history book. That didn't happen.
Right.
Mark, excuse me a minute, 1 minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm holding up your line. I want to hang up. And
all right.
I want other
people. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yes, and I want other people to be able to call you, which I'm sure they're
no problem.
To. So I'll say
I wish you luck on your move and your migration through the county the next couple
of
days.
Thank you so much. You'll have to visit
us. Have a great 4th of July up there and,
thank
enjoy
you
the
so
hinterland.
Much. And I'll say goodnight. And I'll be listening.
Good night, Bonnie.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Thank you, Bonnie. All right. Well, that was informative.
Yeah.
So there you go. You summed your childhood up in a nutshell. She tried to get you to clean your room for 15 years. And basically she mulls over a lot of these decisions. And it's a black smoke, white smoke situation.
I had a laminated list on the back of my bedroom door. Of the things that needed to be done on Saturday mornings.
Laminated?
She laminated. She's a laminator.
Good choice.
I should have called
her. She's a laminator?
I should have called you the laminator. Yeah, she's got a little laminating machine.
You're a blatant laminator.
She had that list on the
back
of the
door. I had my experience with lamination, too, in my adolescence. But,
did you?
Wasn't on the,
I don't want to know. Oh, God.
Wasn't on my door.
Yeah. All right. I just heard that.
Yeah. Ba-dum-bum. So anyway, wow. So in our waning minutes, we're going to steer the conversation to the somascopes here. If we have covered this concept of intuition. What I wanted to get across this week was that we always beat up on most of these domains because they're easy to beat up on. But the positive side of the Anto wave is that their creativity is something that is done in context. They don't create things just to spew them out. They're not someone that's just going to kind of spend their time and energy on something that isn't practical to them or isn't something that they have their energy behind. So they don't create without passion. That's the big thing. And their intuition, this moral compass that we were talking before, is not something that someone else taught them. It's a sensitivity to the dip or the peak in their physiology in reaction to what they perceive themselves to be. So their identity is really based on riding those waves and being able to surf through the extremes and settle on something that they can express. Because, again, it comes down to that thing I talked about before, that packet loss thing. When they send something out, it's an arrow. It is not waffling through the air. And that's why honing that, and imagine a two-year-old, you know, in a tantrum. They want something with every ounce of their being. And that sort of vibration is what comes out of the onto soma when they're attempting to influence their environment. So the intuition is not something that's mental and abstract, even though they can think on those realms. They feel their thoughts. They feel their thoughts all over their bodies, and that's why when anything happens physiologically, they're so sensitive to any change because they're running the show in there, where the rest of us, you know, ecos are temperature sensitive and seasonally sensitive. We're sensitive to the environment to the point of, you know, nausea. Like the humidity is like kryptonite to me in the last couple of days. And philos are reading other people. If they perceive fear in the room, then they look around and go, what's everyone afraid of? They read that as like extended through the other people's bodies. And the exos, of course, are going on the information. So if the information changes, then they can change their perspective. But philos are hooked, you know, lock, stock, and barrel to their physiology. That's why they have that intuition. And it's powerful if they can cultivate that developmentally and then be someone like David Milch and create a weird surfing show. So. Okay, so we're steering towards the top of the hour, so I'm going to get to the somascopes now, my favorite portion of the program, when I get to make stuff up and see what happens. So we are looking at some interesting things this week. We got the Onto week, like I said, and we climbed the wave to the peak of it on Saturday night when we'll be toting the old U-Haul around here in Larchmont, and the full moon visits. And this being the first full moon of the new season, it reflects on emotions from the past. So we're talking about stuff that happened last summer that you're going to be reflecting on this summer. So it's almost like you're making plans, and sometimes Windows programs will do this. They'll say, you know, are you changing the default setting? Do you want this to be your homepage? So it's like, do you want to repeat last summer, or do you want to alter it? So that's the thing you're going to be contemplating as we ramp up to the full moon. This Saturday night, all four domains doing that. Now, we're doing it in the Onto perspective, so just like I talked about before, what is your value system? What are your priorities? Are they the same as last year, or are they different? And if you could spend a moment thinking about that as we ramp up to Saturday, you'll get more intuition about that. Dreams, creativity, serendipity, all the Onto flavors will come out for you. Now, who is going to not tune into this the most? Me and Val can raise our hand, the ecos.
No, I was just raising it.
Yeah, because we don't care about no stinking last summer.
Mm-mm.
We care about next summer. Mm-hmm. So our thing is always to jump ahead and come back to present. So the ecos are forever trying to outrun their past because it's bigger than them, and it seems to be everywhere because we're 80% memory. So the eco ramping up to this weekend is thinking much more about what did they learn about last year that they want to go deeper with, not that they want to keep the same. So that's the big thing. So the ecos have a sort of a prospective ramp up to the full moon, where everyone else is sort of retrospective. Philos especially. Philos are going, hey, 4th of July, it's time for another barbecue. Hey, we can, you know, they're completely into that summer map, and they're not going to change a damn thing from last summer because their traditions are already established. The one thing they're going to feel is a little more of a short fuse because of the anger that comes out in the Onto domain. So the philos will spill over that. So there any inhibitions or any fear that comes up or any sense of vulnerability or even just perceived threat will be met with a lot of tough guy stuff. So I always look for a lot of fights in at baseball games in the stand this time of the year. You see a lot of honking the horns at the red lights. People get a little short of patience. It's sort of like what happens in 6 months at the holidays when we go after the solstice and on December 21st and everyone's out doing their last-minute Christmas shopping. This is sort of the only holiday of the summer where everybody's sort of off. Because Memorial Day and Labor Day, we're still kind of coming in and out of the school year. But, you know, 4th of July, we're kind of right in the middle of it. And so there's a little bit of impatience and a little bit of congestion. The exos have the most interesting ride from here to the next week because as we jump from the full moon on Saturday to getting into the eco week, the week off, which is the rest week, there's a huge release of tension, right? Because we peak in the wave and start coming down. Well, if you don't go up, you can't come down. So the exos, who will not ride this wave at all, and are completely in, they're like the air-conditioned gypsy. They're off on the one side of this. Their perception of it is to watch the dance between the peakers, the ones peering forward, the ones peering backward, and figure out, is my present, my past, or my future more compelling right now? So they take a completely different role, where everyone else is dealing with emotions, they're dealing with their timelines. So they're dealing with organizing things and being practical about what everyone else is thinking is extremely passionate and emotional. So their creativity is funneled much more into practical outlets, and you know, they're still puttering around and doing things that are more sort of patch and fix, and more kind of bringing those three things, past, present, and future, into cohesion rather than trying to separate them all. They're trying to get a sense of which way is this thing going. Is this thing going more towards my future and I'm accelerating, or is it more I'm bringing more baggage up from the past and I want to shave that off and get the sandblaster out? And, you know, you'll see a lot of exos waxing cars and cleaning gutters and doing a lot of Home Depot stuff the next week like they always do, but with a much more of a whistle while they work attitude, because they're going to be independent of a lot of us. So there's your somascopes for this week, and next week it'll be Eco Week, and there's no telling what we're going to talk about on 4th of July, but I'm going to turn it over now to Jeb for his tip of the week. What would you give us as an outgoing message for us walking out in the Soma world this week?
I had a thought came into my mind when I was watching the trailer there of what's our show there?
John from Cincinnati, yeah.
Yeah, John from Cincinnati. And I was thinking about John, and he reminds me a lot of the way he was interacting with people, reminds me a lot of my son Kelly. And those of you who don't know, my son Kelly is 7 years old. He has Down syndrome. And there's something about, and the words that just came to me when I read that my assignment for this week was to give a tip of the week. It's just really two words. It's that magic happens. And one thing is like the way that I wrote this article last week, and it came out in the paper today, and it was all about waves. And that's, you know, these things just, they really do happen. And when you have people like John from Cincinnati or Kelly from Keene, New Hampshire in your life, they sometimes put up the mirror to you and they reflect things back to you. Like he was saying, there was a thing where he was saying, you know, what I do in my character is I filter out all the bad, all the garbage, all the evil, and I give you back just pure light and pure love. That was, I think, the gist of what he was getting at. And that does happen, and it happens with more than people like Kelly or John, but you just have to look for that. So this week when you're out, just be aware of that and look for that in all the people that you meet. Kind of look and meet them in the eye to eye, and maybe meet them soul to soul or heart to heart rather than brain to brain, because when you get your brain out of the way, the heart sees a lot more of a pureness of that person's intent. That's
my all right, magic
week.
Happens. That's cool, yeah. Okay, and Val, quote for the week as we wind
quote.
Down here.
Yeah, I have
all
a
right.
quote, and then I have to play another Al from Deadwood because I'm craving.
No problem.
It now.
The lightning
okay.
bolts.
That's right.
All around
all right.
here.
Here's my quote. It's a Mark Twain quote. I have been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. I love that. That is great. And here's my pal Al, and anyone who's sensitive to bad language, turn the damn thing off.
I don't want to talk to these cocksuckers, but you have to. In life, you have to do a lot of things you don't fucking want to do. Many times, that's what the fuck life is, one vile fucking task after another. But don't get aggravated. Then the enemy has you by the short hair.
That's beautiful.
There's advice.
Words to live by.
Uber Anto with the can you play that clip again? Do we have enough time?
Yeah, we do. Hold on.
Okay,
good. Ashbed. Yeah, where the hell is it? Here it is. All right. Here's Al.
I don't want to talk to these cocksuckers, but you have to. In life, you have to do a lot of things you don't fucking want to do. Many times, that's what the fuck life is, one vile fucking task after another. But don't get aggravated. Then the enemy has you by the short hair.
As much as you can, please minimize your obscenities.
Wow. Oh, that's perfect. Talk about the Four Domains talking there. That's perfect stuff there. Oh, my God. Well, we covered it all here. We covered a lot of stuff. David Milch permeating the broadcast from stem to stern.
Hey, you think we should try to do our 4th of July show from the new office space together?
Well, we should try. I mean, it's a matter of our XO getting the router hooked up and Verizon coming through with freaking live lines. So
it'll be a close call.
Yeah,
it'll definitely be close.
6 o'clock next Wednesday. That's mark your calendars there. We'll be on the air of our independent show. So I guess we'll wrap it up for Jeb Thurman and Val Richard and Bonnie Gaglione and myself. Thanks for joining us here on Naked Soma for Wednesday, June 27th. And as always, we tell you, travel light through the darkness. See you next week.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yo, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.